In the epistle of today's Mass, the lesson from the Old Testament, God himself, the Holy Ghost, instructs us, "Now therefore, ye children, hear instruction and be wise. Blessed is the man that watcheth daily at my gates." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. How topsy-turvy has been our world of late. A hot September, dry and humid, has given way to a wintry morning, the first Sunday in October. I've been watching it, the Enquirer, the daily paper, all throughout September, has fallen into the alarming habit of telling the truth in one article after another. I wonder what this could portend, especially in the light of the fact that so many of our Novus Ordo Catholics don't know the truth, not even the truth of the real presence. Most think it's a symbol. They need to hear instruction and to be wise, to watch daily at her gates. But so do we. Did you see this last week in the paper? That survey of Americans' religious knowledge found that atheists, agnostics, Jews, and Mormons know more about religion than do standard issue Protestants or Novus Ordo Catholics, most of whom could not even answer accurately about the basic tenets of the faith they are supposed to be holding. And here's the kicker. 45% of Roman Catholics did not know that the bread and wine of the Mass are not just symbols, but become the body and the blood of our blessed Savior. Behold the new spring of Vatican II. 40 years ago, it would have been unthinkable that there would be such an abysmal depth of ignorance on the part of the average Catholic, but not anymore. One reporter went to New York City, and he stationed himself outside of a big parish church and waited to interview Catholics as they were leaving services. A well-dressed gentleman, about 60, was asked, "Can you name the author of the first four books of the New Testament?" In a word, the four evangelists. He looked at him and he said, "No." The reporter was somewhat, he was nonplussed. He said, "But you've just come out of church. You mean you can't name the four evangelists?" And he said, "No." And that was the extent of it. So much for opening up the treasures of scriptures with their three-year cycle and all of the rest. But before we smile with too much satisfaction, what about you? And what about your children? Are we studying our faith regularly? That's why we have a school. That's why we have classes on Sunday. That's why so much is sent home with you on Sunday in the bulletin. Are you studying the faith? Are your children growing up learning it? Have you read Father Chikata's book? Are you trying to stay abreast of the great issues of the age? Let's do that this fall. It's past time for us to hear the school bell ringing and get back to class. Last Monday's headline of note reported, again, that studies show, that's how they always phrase it, that the more often children have dinner with their parents, the less likely are they when they hit their teens to start smoking or drinking or using drugs. Parental engagement is the phrase. That, around the dinner table, is a powerful tool in raising your children well. We all know that. And yet, frequent family dinners, for all the difference they make, are such a challenge anymore. But they're worth the effort. Not just everyone eating in the same place at the same time, but a family meal with conversation strengthens the family ties. Now, how do you do in this area? Ah, but you see, there are sports, and then there's more sports, and then there are after-school activities, and then as the children get a little bit older, the after-school jobs, and all of these, it's understood, claim first place. And the family and the dinner table, perhaps a distant second. But ask yourself, what is most important? Is it activities? Is it secular leagues and sports? Or is it the spiritual and family life of my children, which somehow is helped terrifically by means of the family rosary, recited together after the family dinner? First of all, the question is simple. What is more important? Do any of you remember an old liberal from the 1970s? He ran for president. His name was Gene McCarthy. In his Senate days, he said something quite correct. Being in politics, McCarthy said, is like being a football coach. You have to be smart enough to understand the game and dumb enough to think it's important. Be wise, hear instruction, refuse it not. What is important in your life? Well, I'll grant you, the average family is busy and very busy, which is why I want to propose not just one, but two family activities for the average evening in your home. Put them together, family dinner and family rosary, and all of the same objections work against the one as they do the other. Everybody's busy these days. And after the sports, after the activities, we're too tired. Or perhaps there's too much TV or texting or internet access. But we know or should what is important. That family prayer on top of common family fare and conversation at the supper table develops decency and responsibility and respect. It provides a powerful check. It reminds us of duty to God and each other in the family, and of Christian charity. The old saw is true. The family that prays together stays together. But how to make it work? The family that eats together, you're halfway there, could very well be praying together. But you do what one family I used to know here in Cincinnati did years ago successfully. When you're finished eating, start praying. Nobody goes anywhere. American children are raised with a very bad habit of getting up and wandering off from the table as soon as they think they're finished. I'm always so impressed in France. The little children just sit at the table. They listen to the adults' conversation. And of course, you know the French. If you're in for an hour, you're in for three when it comes to eating and drinking. And they just sit there. It's so impressive. Surely our 15, 20 minutes of an average meal wouldn't be too long. Then everybody's there. Have the rosaries, everybody's rosary, on a hook on the wall right where you have supper together. As the meal winds down after dessert, pass out the rosaries. Have a child in charge. Perhaps the one who sets the table might put a centerpiece of Our Lady, a statue, and perhaps light a candle. Then, dessert's done, don't clear the table. Just shove the dishes aside and start. Let every child take a decade or perhaps a night for leading the rosary. Should you kneel down for the family rosary? Certainly that's the ideal, and it's a good example. But sometimes this or that gets in the way, and there's no sense adding to your struggles. Remember, you can pray in any reverent posture. Now, it's true, the angels may fuss a bit, the little ones, but as they're growing up, they will never forget the example, what they saw, mom and dad praying together, praying with them. Oh, there might be some fighting sometimes, and there'll certainly be some complaining and plenty of distractions on a given evening, and it may be a struggle to get that rosary said, but the rosary wins victories. Remember that. It never leads to defeat. Did I say two for one earlier? I'm offering you three powerful rosary victories, not way back then in Vienna or in the Lepanto held by Pope St. Pius V, but right in your kitchen, in your living room. First victory. Many of our Catholics, we may smile smugly at the Novus Ordo ignorance, but many of our Catholics do not know and understand the faith as they should. The rosary enables us to think about what we believe, to meditate on it, or reflect on it. The great truths of the incarnation, of the redemption, summed up in our catechism. All of this you get over the course of three evenings with the family rosary. You'll go through the 15 decades. And more than that, by this powerful prayer, if you ask her, Our Lady will give you an increase of the gift of understanding. Now, how many of you could recite the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost? And what's the gift of understanding? Whereby the great truths of the faith you hold on faith become more your faith, your truth. The mysteries, by the help of the mysteries of the rosary, become less mysterious and more mine. That's the gift of understanding. She'll get you an increase of that. The second blessing. All of these supernatural blessings come along with natural benefits of staying together as a family. And thirdly, oh, there are many graces that I could mention here, but I'm going to say today, thirdly, the country. We're all certainly in agreement that our country is in great peril. Listening to the news this morning, I had the feeling that they're up to something. And just in time for Election Day, a month away, we need to take it seriously. Not politics any more than football. Don't be dumb. But to take it seriously, the peril we face. And it's not by means of pledges to America or Democrats or Republicans or tea parties or most of the time even polling places that we are going to be protected and saved. It's only by God. His mother has a plan. Prayer is asking God for help. And certainly, do you think that we stand a chance in our country unless we begin to restore family life? So, some of you got together and made an excellent suggestion. I'm going to suggest to all of you, there are 30 days that separate us from Election Day. Pray one rosary every day between now and November 2nd, Election Day, which is All Souls Day. Pray to and through the poor souls in purgatory, and you will multiply again the power of your prayer. So, come supper time tonight, but especially tomorrow night, gather the family together. Eat, take your time, speak, listen, of course. It's simplicity itself. And after you've eaten, continue the conversation. Bring in the other members of the family, God's family, Jesus and Mary, into which you were adopted. After supper, stay. Say the rosary together. Do the dishes later. Pray together. Stay together. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.